music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to our listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. Indeed, we are in interesting times. Very, very, very interesting times. And if you listen to the news, the foreign news, I mean, that's where a lot is happening in the world. The truth is, it's not even everything that we are being told by the media, because they are really clamping down on a lot of things. So in Israel, for instance, a lot of things is not being told. The media are virtually gagged not to talk about a lot of the missiles that are hitting Israel, and it's not going too well in some instances. This week, one of our listeners is in Israel. I mean, I got in touch with him, and he was saying that the situation is quite dire there. It's quite serious, you know. But they make it like look as if, oh, everything is going well, but everything is not going well. And the U.S. is also not having it easy with this war, because now, yes, they've done a lot of bombardments in Iran and all, but, you know, Trump keeps saying we've bombed everything. But the Iranians are still firing missiles and drones into Dubai and U.S. bases and all that. My last check this week, they had U.S. over 200 U.S. soldiers were wounded. You know, so it's not something that is going as planned, you know. And now the biggest challenge is the Strait of Hormuz, which the Iranians have virtually blocked the flow of oil. And that is what is causing the price of crude to skyrocket everywhere in the world. This week, we had our oil, petrol and diesel prices going up in Ghana. It's because of that. And they've set bomb mines or bombs in the sea passage. And so no ships can pass except they allow. So they have their, if you are a friend of Iran, they will allow you to pass. I mean, but largely they've blocked the passage and the bombs are there under the sea. So it's a threat. The U.S. military is also, the Navy, they can't go because they have missiles lined up, hidden across that stretch. So any attempt by the U.S. Navy to go to try to even clear the mines is going to be a suicide mission for them. And this week it was very interesting hearing President Trump begging, calling on their allies to come and help them reopen the Strait of Hormuz. And that was a clear indication to show that the thing is really not going well. I mean, and so that's where we are so far. The bombs are happening. Dubai, they fire drones. They are destroying, they are targeting oil industry, because Iran is saying that their aim now is to ensure that the oil price or crude price hits $200. So that's what they are doing, economic war on the rest of the world. And well, so we keep seeing what we are seeing in the news. Things are shaping up day by day. So as Christians, what do? In the midst of all this, what do we do? And, you know, when things go this way, you hear all sorts of things and this and that and this and that. But ultimately, the word of God should stand supreme. And the truth is, I mean, these are just early days. We've not, this is not the end. No, if you really look at what Jesus said, these are the beginning. So these are just beginning of the end time things, beginning. We've not reached anywhere near the real action. So what we are seeing is just skirmishes. So, yeah, that is it. So let's get into some news, some things happening in the world. And, yeah, I saw this news this week. Poland plans to ban mobile phones used by under 16s in schools. And this is a good thing. It's a really, really good thing they should do. Poland plans to ban the use of mobile phones by under 16s in schools from September 1st. The education minister said on Wednesday, joining a growing list of countries moving to limit children's screen time and social media use. You know, Australia banned it for the social media use for 16s, yeah, and low. And the results are positive. The results are very positive. And it confirms clearly what some of us have been saying and the various experts have been warning about, the harm that these devices are causing, social media is causing and all. So they did the ban and the verification that you have to do and all that to prove you are 16 or above before you can access social media in Australia. It has really limited the use, and it has, the results are showing academic performance is improving, social life is improving, family life is improving. And this is exactly what we've been talking about, that this thing or these devices or this social media thing and all, it's causing more harm than good to humanity. Yes, these are the children and then the teenagers or early teens, sort of up to 16. But even adults, you know, this issue is so serious. Even adults are struggling. It's causing the harm. Adults are struggling. It's affecting marriages. It's affecting relationships. It's virtually destroying the fabric of our society. You know, sometimes I feel sad when I walk around and you see people, 2, 3, 4 friends standing at a place, maybe at the side of the road waiting for a car or something, and all of them are looking at their phones, and you ask yourself, so what has happened to human beings? What has made us lose what makes us human? The connection between human beings. Now phones have taken it. So even 2, 3 people gather and everybody is staring at the phones. So it's as if we all don't exist again. And it's a worry. It's a real, real, real serious worry. And anyway, that's not my focus this evening. All right, this headline says, Christian parents lose final appeal after Swedish state took daughters following a false abuse claim. So a Christian couple's years-long fight to regain custody of their daughters from the Swedish government was dealt a major setback last week after a top European court rejected their plea for help. The European Court of Human Rights, ECHR, ruled the case brought by Daniel and Bianca Samson as inadmissible on March 10th, a final decision that cannot be appealed. Wow. According to Alliance Defending Freedom International, which supported the family's application before the ECHR, the children have been separated from their parents since December 2022. ADF International said the case began after the couple's eldest daughter, Sarah, then 11, made a false abuse report at school following a fight with her parents over not being allowed to have a smartphone. This thing. So not being allowed to have a smartphone or wear makeup. Interesting. ADF International said the girl quickly retracted the allegation and that prosecutors found no evidence of abuse, but the Swedish state refused to return the children. According to the legal group, the state cited the family's habit of attending church 3 times a week and their parenting choices as evidence of religious extremism and justification for keeping the children. The girls have pleaded to be reunited with their parents and have suffered worsening mental and physical health, according to ADF International. Their parents reported that both girls attempted suicide whilst in stable care. The parents have completed state-mandated parenting courses and were later deemed fit to parent, according to the legal group, but still have not been united or reunited with their daughters. They have also allegedly sought to move the girls into foster care in their home country of Romania, but have been denied. The European Court of Human Rights deemed the case inadmissible on the grounds of failure to exhaust legal remedies in Sweden, ADF International said, despite the Swedish Supreme Court refusing to hear the family's case in 2025. Wow, what a sad case. So, the eldest child, lies at school that, oh, the parents are not allowing her to use a smartphone and do makeup. And that is it. And, you know, in these countries, the slightest then report to be made to welfare, and then that is, I mean, they are extremely particular about these things. I have a friend in Norway. Was my junior school, and we were talking once about life there and all that, and he told me that if your child dares to make a report against you, the parents at school, something has happened at home, this, and you can easily, I mean, you lose your child right now. The state will take the child and look after the child. You, the parents, you lose custody of your own child. And that's what has happened in Sweden. And I mean, they have such strict systems. And when it comes to Christian values and all that, they are anti-Christian. So Christians, I remember some few years ago, there was a number of times I read about this couple who were also, they've lost custody of their children. They had 4 children or something. And I mean, they lost custody. The states just took custody of their children, also based on religious Christian issues, and that's it. I mean, then they dragged the whole thing, various levels at courts and all, but the states are taking their children. I mean, so this is how Christianity is really being seen as a dangerous thing. And the saddest thing is, you know, they will do this to Christians, but yet let the other people do their own thing, and you know, they're afraid, they won't say anything. I mean, it's like when it's Christians, oh yes, Christians can be bullied and whatever, but let the same thing happen in the other religion, and nothing will happen to them. Nothing. Nobody would dare say that they are taking the children. And this is how the world is going. And in Pakistan, this headline says, Christian acquitted in false blasphemy case launched by angry neighbor. So a court has acquitted a 62-year-old Catholic man of baseless blasphemy charges after complainant said he had forgiven him and wished to withdraw the case, the victim's lawyer said. And, you know, in this Pakistan, Indonesia, these strict places where, you know, your enemy, somebody who just hates you can just go to the police station and say something that you said this against the religion, and that is it. You can be detained endlessly. By the time you would really have a lawyer and the truth will be known, you can easily spend months, if not years, in detention. It's like Christians are just second-level citizens. They are just not regarded. And there's like they are hated. So anything when you go to the police station, I mean the Christians, you don't have a say there because it's everybody against you. The whole system is against you. And this is what people are going through. So this week there was also another news. Christian father facing death penalty after false blasphemy charge. And that, I mean, a lot of the blasphemy charges that are labeled against Christians in these places are mostly false. Mostly false. That somebody can go to the police station, say that I heard him say this. And it's like, they will have witnesses who will come and, oh yes, it's true, and that is it. And there will be no evidence. But the fact that they say you said this against them, against their religion or against something. And this one says, Ishaq Salim, a Christian sanitation worker and father of Islamabad, Pakistan, is awaiting possible death penalty verdict after being accused of sharing material considered blasphemous on social media, a charge he denies. Authorities in Pakistan capital arrested Salim on November 29, 2022, after allegations emerged that he had shared online content viewed as offensive to Islam. He now faces multiple criminal charges under the country's blasphemy laws and cybercrime legislation. Cybercrime. Interesting. Legal provisions that can carry the death penalty if a court finds him guilty. So this is what some people are going through. All right. And this aspect of the news is very interesting because this is from the US. This headline says, experts warn of homegrown jihadism and spread of Sharia law. This is the USO, this headline from the US. As terrorist attacks perpetrated by Islamist extremists continue to proliferate across the US, experts and lawmakers are raising the alarm over the increase in homegrown jihadist views and activism to implement Sharia law in America, which directly contradict the tenets of the U.S. Constitution. In the weeks following the Trump administration strike on Iran on February 28, four terrorist attacks were carried out by Islamist radicals across four different states. In the early morning hours of March 3rd, Senegalese national Diadja Diagne killed three and wounded 14 others after he opened fire at a bar in Austin, Texas, before he was killed by police. Diagne was wearing a sweatshirt with the words "Property of Allah," and a search of his car and home found a Quran, Iranian flag, and pictures of Iranian leaders. 4 days later, March 7th, Emil Balat and Ibrahim Kayum attempted to detonate explosive devices full of metal shrapnel near a protest occurring at the Gracie Mansion in New York City. They later professed their allegiance to the Islamic State terror group after being arrested. On March 12, Lebanese national Ayman Mohamed Ghazali rammed a truck through a front entrance of a synagogue in West Bloomfield Township, Michigan, exchanged gunfire with a security guard, and set off fireworks before killing himself. It later came to light that Ghazali's brother was a Hezbollah commander in Lebanon. The next day, Mohamed Balo Jallo, a former Virginia National Guard member, shot and killed ROTC instructor Lieutenant Colonel Brandon Shah at Old Dominion University in Virginia, and injured two others before being subdued and killed by ROTC members. Jallo previously served prison time for attempting to aid the terror group ISIS. So this is one headline. It goes on and on, and it says that these recent attacks come after 49,000 jihad terror attacks around the world since 9/11. 49,000. That's huge. He pointed out during the Tuesday's... that's Robert Spencer pointed out, yeah, during Tuesday's edition of Washington Watch. Now, people like to say, oh, every religion has extremists. But in Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, you don't see people who hold to these religions carrying out terror attacks at all, much less 49,000 of them in 25 years. that's serious statistics to consider. 25 years, 49,000. And then this is the Speaker of U.S. Congress. And that makes it quite interesting. This headline says, anti-Christian violence and legal pressure. Right? No, sorry. This is the UN news. Let me read what the U.S. Speaker, Speaker Mike Johnson warns of encroaching Sharia law in U.S. and says serious issue. House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican LA, warned of what he characterized as the encroaching threat from Sharia law in the United States, which he said is incompatible with the U.S. Constitution, during a press briefing Tuesday in Florida. And this was after some posts by some politicians. But then his key statement, that is quite interesting, is that this is something to be worried about in America. And that's quite interesting. Very, very interesting. And further down this article, in January, Republican Chip Roy, Texas, launched the Sharia-Free American Caucus with another Texas congressman amid fears their state has been inundated with Muslim immigrants who have no intention of assimilating, but aim instead to establish self-governing enclaves under Sharia. Roy noted during the hearing that he has spoken to Texans on Dallas-Fort Worth area who claim parts of the Metroplex have effectively become no-go zones for non-Muslims, echoing similar situations in Europe and United Kingdom. And that's quite interesting. I mean, for UK's and Europe's, I mean, you go to YouTube, there are a number of videos, reports, and all that, and it's interesting. There are places that the police even dare not go. The police is even afraid to go there. Those places are a law unto themselves. They have their own law. They do whatever they want because the police will not come there. I mean, that's how serious it is. Right? It's serious. That's how the system is going. And Europe is I mean, they've fallen. It's over. I mean, there's the numbers now and the strategy that they are implementing with Christianity also on the decline and the church also asleep. Church selling off their properties to them to be used for mosques and all that. Something is not right. I clearly realize that's it. But the church is the decline is very, very serious. I mean, one pastor in Germany, I mean, he spoke to me a few years ago. That was during the COVID time. We had a long talk on the phone. We were talking and he was telling me how he was describing the church where he pastors in Germany, and he said that the larger part of the congregation is virtually old people. And as the old people pass on, they die and all that, the church is just dwindling gradually because most churches in where the area where it's just full of old people. So they are so committed. So as the get maybe terminal illness, they are moved to the hospice or they are moved to the elderly home, and then it's like, so they does it, or they are dying, they die and all that. So that the numbers keep reducing. The numbers keep reducing and it's serious. And you see, in Europe now, even the most vibrant churches are all African churches. I mean, it's African churches largely who are making the place, even keeping the little fire going, burning the African churches. Take the African churches out. Christianity in Europe is almost virtually it's serious. Nothing to talk about. And it's very unfortunate. Okay, so we read this one in this report that says that anti-Christian violence and legal pressure rising in Europe, according to UN experts, I mean, they've experts who have warned and told the UN, and this is what is happening: anti-Christian sentiments. The world is anti-Christ now. You see, before I read this, you see, the system, and this system, when I say the system, I mean the world system as we know it. Things have been designed perfectly to virtually make the world more antichrist by the day. The systems have been put in place to make the antichrist introduction more. I mean, virtually the minds of the world is being prepared towards that by so many ways: the deception, the manipulation, the idolization, and everything of what makes people happy, what is making people excited. All these are ways they are manipulating the human mind or the brains of people. So the values, if you look at the youth now, you pick the average youth, what they value, it's completely things which you, the normal rational person, will say that is irrelevant. Things that are of no value, that is what they cherish and value. And these are the things that are influencing them negatively. They are role models, are people who you look at and it's like, how can this person be a role model, this celebrity be a role model to someone? And, you know, it's amazing, but that's how the system is. Virtually, people are just manipulated. They are just controlled by the system. The things they follow, it's all making them, quote-unquote, more dumb, quote-unquote, more stupid. So, people are just being made into zombies of a sort, so that at the right time, they can easily be manipulated. And this is how the world is moving. The manipulation is going on. So you realize that the one who is outside this bubble of control, the one, the believer, a Christian, a sound Christian youth who is not under the control of these systems, will look very odd in the midst of his friends, will look very odd when he's in school, because it's like everybody is doing this. Everybody is following this. Everybody is listening to this. And you alone, why? What makes you, why? I mean, as if you are rather not normal. But the reverse is the issue. They rather are not normal. You are rather the normal one. But you see, this is the system makes it look like you, the one doing what is right, is rather the odd one. And the system will fight you. The system will ostracize you. The system will make it look like you have a problem. So if you are not well grounded in your faith, in your belief system and all that, you give up and then you also join them. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Where the anti-God sentiment is just increasing. It's like people just despise God. They despise anything Christ. They despise anything holy. It's all about you being happy. Make yourself happy, you know. You know, the Satanists have this saying, do as thou wilt. Yeah, I remember. Do as thou wilt. I mean, do whatever you want. Just feel free. Live your life and enjoy life. Do whatever you want. And that's how you see the youth misbehaving now. I mean, they just want to just do whatever comes to mind, whether it makes sense or not. They just do as thou wilt. And this is the manipulation of the world system. So, you see, when you hear these anti-Christian sentiments and anti-Christian behavior, people being or hating Christians, it shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't at all. Because Jesus has already foretold us that these things will be hated. I mean, his followers will be hated. So, when we start seeing these things, that is it. Yeah, we shouldn't be surprised. So, this news says that experts and diplomats warned at the United Nations Human Rights Council that anti-Christian violence and legal pressure affecting religious freedom are increasing in Europe and require stronger protection of freedom of religion worldwide. The warning emerged during a side event titled Standing with Persecuted Christians, Defending the Faith and Christian Values, held in Geneva during the Council's 61st session. Said the Observatory on Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe in a statement sent to Christian Post. Anja Tang, executive director of the observatory, said the organization has also documented a growing number of cases involving legal pressure on Christians, Several European governments have targeted individuals through criminal procedures for peacefully expressing their religious beliefs, according to Tang. More than 760 anti-Christian hate crimes were recorded in Europe in 2024, according to official reports cited at the event, as reported by Orthodox Times. Archbishop Tor Balestero, the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations and other international organizations in Geneva, told the gathering that the observatory documented 2,211 violent incidents affecting Christians across the continent during the same year. Some incidents involved direct violence, whilst others involved legal actions against individuals expressing religious beliefs. As for the violence, I believe you know the cause. I mean, those who have increased their population there in Europe are the same people who are now fighting the Christians. I mean, so you know them, you know it. Tang referred to 2024 killing of Assyrian Christian Alsha Samaya in France during a live stream of his religious testimony, which authorities confirmed as a jihadist attack. She also cited legal proceedings against Finnish Member of Parliament Päivi Räsänen over the Bible citation in a public debate on social issues. Speakers said some restrictions arise from laws affecting religious expression in schools. Legal disputes involved internal church governance or public expressions of faith, such as prayer or baptisms. Tang also pointed to neutrality laws limiting religious references in schools and legal disputes that said affect parental rights in education and internal autonomy of religious communities. Marie-Thérèse Picquet, ambassador for Foreign Order of Malta to the United Nations in Geneva, called the discussion a significant moment because the Human Rights Council had rarely focused directly on discrimination against Christians. Yes, they will not. They are not interested in it. When it's about Christians, forget it. I mean, let's be any other religion talking about they being discriminated against, and immediately the UN will wake up. Oh yes, for that one, they will find their voice and do whatever they have to do. But when it's Christians, it's like, I see no evil, I hear no evil, I smell no evil. It's like everybody pretends as if nothing is happening to the Christians. Mark Aurel Oxege, Special Advisor for Religion and Diplomacy at Hungary's Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, said practical assistance programs can help communities facing persecution. He presented Hungary Helps, a Hungarian government program that cooperates with churches and religious leaders to support Christian communities affected by violence and displacement. As you said, such initiatives cannot resolve persecution alone, but can provide direct assistance and encouragement to communities living under pressure. Nazila Ghani, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on freedom of religion or belief, told the event that violence against Christians often involves wider violations of fundamental rights and should be understood within the broader system of international human rights protections. Christians do not and should not stand alone, Ghani said, adding that the global human rights framework recognizes the interconnected nature of rights and places human dignity at the center of the United Nations system. Archbishop Balestero told participants that states carry the primary responsibility to protect religious freedom and ensure that individuals can profess and practice their faith publicly or privately without interference, Vatican News reported. Balestero said nearly 400 million Christians worldwide face persecution or violence, and that about one in seven Christians is affected. He also said nearly 5,000 Christians were killed for their faith in 2025, an average of about 13 people each day. And of this, Nigeria was the majority, the largest percentage of it. It's bad. The Archbishop said governments must protect freedom of religion by preventing third parties from violating that right and by safeguarding believers before, during, and after attacks. Impunity, he said, remains one of the most serious challenges in addressing religious persecution globally. And mind you, this report was even referring to Europe largely. And if you are talking of the developed countries, if this is happening there, then you can imagine the underdeveloped countries, what is even happening there. If places where laws are supposed to work and systems are in place for protections and all that, if even in these places the system is fighting against Christians, then it tells you where we are. Okay, so we have this news, and I think this will be the last news item. Then, okay, no, I have, this is the last news item. Then I'm done for the news. Okay, this one says, secular fear meets Bible prophecy. One third believe the end is near. Interesting. I will talk about it. But let me first take a breath. A breather, play the song. I will be back.
When I look back at what I thought was living, I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay. And to think I ignored what really mattered, 'cause I thought the sacrifice would be too great. When I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even then. Power, I am alive.
for I am crucified with Christ. Welcome back to Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Saban, and thank you for tuning in. Okay, so we have this part to finish. Okay, so this headline says, it's an interesting report, says that secular fear meets Bible prophecy. One third believe the end is near. Something remarkable is happening in the public consciousness. In the age defined by technology, scientific advancement, and confidence in human progress, a growing number of people sense that history may be approaching a dramatic turning point. According to a recent study conducted by researchers at the University of British Columbia, nearly one third of Americans and Canadians believe the world will end within their lifetime. For many observers, that statistic may sound shocking, but for millions of Christians who have long studied Bible prophecy or biblical prophecy, the idea that people increasingly sense the world is moving towards some kind of final chapter may not be surprising at all. For centuries, Scripture has taught that history is not random. The Bible describes a clear beginning, a purposeful unfolding of events, and ultimately a conclusion in which God intervenes decisively in human history. Jesus himself warned that before the end comes, the world will experience rising turmoil, wars, instability, moral confusion, and distress amongst nations. Whether people believe in the Bible or not, it is difficult to ignore how often the modern headlines seem to echo those warnings. The new survey found that about 28.9% of respondents believe the world will end during their lifetime. Younger participants were even more likely to hold that view. Researchers were interested in how these beliefs shape public attitudes towards global threats such as nuclear conflict, climate concerns, or other large-scale crises. But the most fascinating element of the study may be what it unintentionally reveals about how people interpret the future. Participants who believed humans would cause the apocalypse were far more likely to support drastic measures to stop it, including extreme government intervention such as developing massive portions of national wealth to a single crisis, instituting martial law, or even overthrowing existing political systems. In contrast, those who believed the end would come through divine or supernatural forces were far less likely to support such radical responses. In other words, the way people think about the end of the world dramatically shapes how they respond to the problems of the present. For Christians, that distinction matters deeply. Biblical prophecy does not teach that humanity will destroy the world through technology or environmental collapse. Instead, Scripture describes a future in which human rebellion, geopolitical conflict, and spiritual deception intensify until God ultimately intervenes. That message does not produce panic, it produces vigilance. Increasingly, the survey also highlighted another pattern that aligns with what many pastors allegedly already observe. While the belief in the end of the world tends to decline as people age in most groups, it does not decline amongst evangelical Protestants. In fact, in some cases, it increases. The difference is not rooted in conspiracy theories or cultural pessimism. It is rooted in something far simpler. Evangelical Christians tend to read and study biblical prophecy more frequently than many other groups. For them, the expectation that history is moving towards a divinely appointed conclusion is not speculation. It is part of their theological framework. But that raises an important challenge for the modern church. For decades, many pastors and Christian leaders have avoided teaching about prophecy altogether, fearing that it can be controversial or easily misunderstood. Yet, the growing cultural fascination with apocalyptic ideas suggests that people are already thinking about the end of the world, just often without a biblical lens. When secular culture talks about the future, it usually frames the end as pure catastrophe, climate collapse, nuclear devastation, or technological disaster. These narratives offer fear but little hope. The Bible, however, tells a different story. Yes, Scripture warns of difficult times ahead. It speaks of tribulation, global turmoil, and spiritual conflict. But it also promises something the world's apocalyptic scenarios never do: redemption. The biblical story does not end with destruction. It ends with restoration, the return of Christ, and the renewal of creation through a new heavens and a new earth. In that sense, Christians view the end of the world differently than many secular commentators. It is not merely the collapse of civilization, it is the culmination of God's plan for history. The rising belief that the world may be nearing its end could easily be dismissed as anxiety or cultural pessimism, but it may also reveal something deeper about the human condition. Even in a secular age, many people instinctively feel that history is moving somewhere, that the story of the world has an ending. For the church, that awareness presents an opportunity. If nearly a third of people already believe the world may end in their lifetime, then the conversation about the future is already happening. The question is whether Christians will step into that conversation. Because when the world begins asking whether the end is near, the church should be ready with an answer, not one of fear, but one rooted in the promises of Scripture. The Bible does not call believers to panic about the future. It calls them to watch, remain faithful, and to remember that the final chapter of history ultimately belongs to God. That is an interesting fact. I mean, you know, it's also interesting to note how the average Christian today knows very little about Bible prophecy. You know, years back a bit, you know, 80s, 90s, pastors talked, there were more pastors who talked about Bible prophecy than we have now. It's as if now pastors are a bit careful, this thing that I'm going to talk about, how people perceive it, and they've said it, nothing has happened, and you know, so out of that confusion or uncertainty and all that, many have tried to veer away out of it. I mean, they just won't talk about it at all. So there are many believers who have been in church for many years, let's say somebody 5 years, 6, 7, 8, 10 or whatever, and can rarely point to a sermon that really was about the times. There are many, many people who are in churches, they've not heard anything about it because the pastor himself is confused, is not sure of the doctrine and all that. And the worrying part is not even being taught or preached about, but the teaching, they are not even being taught about. So the average Christian knows nothing. Of course, those in churches that have materials like Sunday school materials, at least the topic runs through periodically and all, so at least that gives some insight. But there are many in other churches where nobody talks about it, nobody teaches about it, so it's more of they hear there's something there and all that, and then they also learn from movies what they've seen in the Christian movies, unfortunately, which I would say that they've caused more harm than good. Yes, a lot of, not all, but a lot of the Christian movies on end times have not dealt well with the doctrine well. They've twisted things, and some have caused far more harm than good. Yeah, a lot of harm that has been caused by some of those movies because they've based these movies on doctrines which does not align strictly with Scripture. It's more of, you know, yes, oh, just to make it more aligned to common beliefs and all. But it's not about common beliefs. It's about what the Bible says. What did Jesus say? what is the Bible saying about this and this and that. But if it's just about, oh, this is what most people believe, so let's use that as a theme for a movie, Christian movie, then you run into error. And it's one of the challenges of our time. And I believe people should. You know, I remember telling somebody some years back, take your Bible. We have the Holy Spirit as our guide. You know, John, the Holy Spirit is supposed to teach us. So let me just get that verse right. See, when we really do things at the right time, you realize that the Holy Spirit will be there for us. So I'm just getting the verse. John. Yeah, John 16, verse 13. How be it, when he come, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all, not some, all truth, all. All includes end time prophecy. It includes confusion of prophecy. So he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So when it comes to end time prophecies and all that, the best teacher is the Holy Spirit. So I tell people that take your Bible, let the Holy Spirit ask him to teach you. Oftentimes, people have preconceived doctrines, what they've been taught already, what they know already. And I've heard of instances where it's like people would do this. They would talk to God, pray, okay, Holy Spirit, teach me. And as they read and study and all. But then when they get to the point where there's now a conflict with what they believed already, and now they are seeing something that is in conflict with what they believed already, then it's like, you know, but the issue is, if you ask the Holy Spirit to teach you something, and now what the Holy Spirit is giving you insight about, or as you are reading, what the illumination you are getting, is contrary to what you've believed over the years. The issue is, believe what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Because as I have said it, and I've said it over the times, several times on this program, you know, when it comes to these things, an entire denomination can get it wrong. Because, you see, oftentimes, it's one person who, one or a few people will start something, believe something, say something, and then it becomes a doctrine. So some doctrines are clearly based on twisted scripture. So when now the Holy Spirit is giving you a deeper insight that is contrary to what you believed over the years, don't be worried about it. Stick to what the Holy Spirit is teaching you. And sometimes it's as plain and as simple as, but you see, because people have preconceived doctrines in their minds, they are not even ready to open up and learn something new when they are reading the Bible. Holy Spirit is giving them new understanding. It's like, this is what I've been taught and this is what is it. So even when they see things that are contrary to what they believed over the years, they still force, and it's like, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If the Bible says A, B, C will happen, and you say A, B, C will not happen, it's not about what somebody says. It's about what the Bible says. So if the Bible says A, B, C will happen, stick with what the Bible says, not what somebody told you the Bible says. Because somebody is trying to tell you something which the Bible has not said, but has made it look like that is what the Bible says. And this is where the problem for most believers are. It's about, they've been told that the Bible says this. But the question to ask is, does the Bible indeed say so? Open up the Bible yourself. Read Matthew 24 from beginning to the end into 25. It's a whole continuous thing. Read that whole passage. Let the Holy Spirit pray to God, give me insight, give me understanding. Forget about what you know already. read it from beginning to the end of Matthew. So Matthew 24 verse 1 up to the end of 25. Read that whole passage. Take your time, pray, read. The Holy Spirit will give you the understanding. And you realize that it is written, plainly written there. There is no, extra something. It is plainly written there. The sequence is there. Jesus said this, that will happen. When this happens, this will happen. This, it's all written there. But sometimes it's as if we want to make things more complicated by... I remember someone, I'll never forget this statement. Somebody was asked that, so per your saying, that man was trying to say something else, you know, this doctrine thing, where, because he disputes the rapture based on what Matthew 24 is saying. He thinks it should not be where it is. And it's like, it's not about what you think. It's about what is there. Matthew 24 is there. Clearly, when Christ comes, it's written there. But because it doesn't fit into his doctrine, so the person asks him, so where is that verse? What you believe is the rapture in Matthew 24? Where does it fit? He says, in between Matthew 24, verse 8 and between verses 8 and 9. So verse 8 and half, or what? Why do we do this to ourselves as Christians? If the Bible has not said it, it has not said it. Why do you want to force it into it? Yet the same Bible, the same chapter 24, has places where the Bible says exactly when Christ is coming. But somebody says he thinks it's not where it should be. No, we cannot do this. And this is why we need to get into the Bible, have the knowledge, learn, let the Holy Spirit teach us. Ultimately, let the Holy Spirit teach us. Let the Holy Spirit teach us. And with that, we become knowledgeable based on the direct word of God, not what somebody says it should be, the word of God. And when we go that way, it becomes easier for us, and it gives us that understanding of the word of God. When we take the word of God and we are reading it, and the Holy Spirit is allowed to be our guide, it becomes easier for us. And that's how we should go about it. We cannot take the Holy Spirit out of our understanding of the word of God. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. Because then we are just like Bible knowledge teachers or whatever course name they call the courses now in school. But those teachers, some were not even Christians, but they are teaching BK. In our time, we call it Bible knowledge. So you have somebody who is teaching Bible knowledge, but the person is not even a Christian, a serious Christian, I will put. But because it's just knowledge, Bible knowledge. It just, that one is just come teach this. That is it. It's not something that is really spirit inspired type of teaching that they are doing. It's just knowledge, Bible, what the Bible says. They just say it and go. And then that's it. Who was the father of Abraham? Okay, who was the mother of this? As simple as that. So, if you take the Holy Spirit out of the knowledge of the word of God, it's just like anybody at all can read the Bible just like that on the surface, just the letter. And that one, there's no power in it. There's no power in it. All right, so end it here this evening. Thanks for tuning in. For the streaming, sorry for listeners who couldn't listen to it online. It's recorded, it will be uploaded, and then you can listen to it later on. So good night, and God bless you.